Careful.
Hi, how are you, sir? I'm
Hello.
sorry I'm late, but I was waiting for Al. Oh, he's here. He's here. Okay. Let me transfer the call, sir. Hold on.
Hey, Rob.
Hello.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Good. Good.
Excellent. Sorry I ran a couple of minutes late here. I just got out of an appointment.
Okay. Well, just let me know if that's going to happen because I'm never sure if you forgot or.
Gotcha. Will do. Will do. Okay.
So how was your week and how did you do on Evan's work?
Week is good. I think I might have had the busiest week last week that I've had in, I told Marisol, I don't even know how long. Like, I don't know when was the last time I was this busy. Maybe in the transition from HSBC to Morgan Stanley 5 years ago. I put in a lot of hours. Okay? Including leaving at 6 o'clock on Saturday and working every single evening. A lot of hours. Yeah. Because what I noticed is once I get into it, there's a lot of stuff. Like every client is a laundry list of items if I'm going to do it right. Meaning a complete financial plan, a complete insurance plan. So I've coordinated with the local insurance guy for that because now that I'm doing financial planning, it brings up insurance opportunities. Okay? I started with the accountant. Speaking with the accountant with every single client. So now I'm making a list of those guys.
Okay, good.
Who, you know, not only are go-to people, I forgot the name you called them in the, endorsed referral sources, is that the, what you call them?
Right, enthusiastically endorsed, right.
There you go, enthusiastically endorsed people. But also they themselves become some type of suspect for what I'm doing, and I can dig further there. Okay? So if I'm doing that correctly, it's just a lot of stuff. And by the way, there's another thing, very important. I'm transitioning everybody at the same time to manage money.
Oh.
So that's also a big deal because that can't be done in one step. It's pieces of, and every time I sell securities to transfer the managed money, it requires a phone call. Because I got to call them that day, and I got to sell that day. You know, so what I did is I went through every single account. And every single account has a list. So every single one of my clients has an agenda of what I have to do.
Excellent.
Okay. And it's, again, done well, it's really an incredible amount of work for each guy and follow-up. Okay?
Right.
So I think, and you can mentor me on this, I'm a little bit off schedule in terms of the regular supernova because, like, for example, let's say that this month's agenda is to call people and talk about annuities and do an annuity campaign. Right? There's no way I can do that, man.
That agenda is for people that have been through the laundry list of planning items. Okay? And you're going back now looking for something to do.
Right.
And so forget about the agenda, the 24-month calendar. That's great. A year from now, that will be brilliant. Okay?
Right.
Then you go back and recheck over the annuities and recheck over the insurance and follow up on the cases that you didn't get to or didn't close or whatever. So, you know, do the mortgages that you didn't get to or never brought up. So it's a great idea, but when you're up to your elbows and alligators, you can't do that. No, of course not. So rule of common sense always trumps all the rules. So this is a great program The 24-month calendar is a great program for those people that have been doing planning and have pretty much gone through and done everything for clients. But when I take on a client that's doing what you're doing, which is, you know, 4-3 years worth of work, maybe, and you're putting it into, you know, 6 months, it's a big deal. You know, you're kind
of... Yeah, and a lot of lengthy conversations. Because
right.
This is not, hey, I got a trade for you. This is, wow, we're really getting into the weeds here, you know? And then a follow-up of that a couple of times, just to make sure they understand. I was telling my soul, very lengthy conversations with each client. And then talking to their CPA, because initially I think that's my best contact source. I'll start there and then go into other professionals, right?
Right. Your clients, you know, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And then when you talk to them, you know whether you're talking to develop somebody or to fire somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be a very telling conversation, very important.
Other things of note, I've structured my business. So I have my morning plan. I have a lunch, always with a prospect of some type. Today was with our biggest client, okay? And he had a whole bunch of stuff. And then an afternoon plan. And then I break at 4:30, grab an early dinner, and I have a plan from 5 to 7. That plan from 5 to 7 may be interrupted if I have a networking event. For example, I had one last night with the management of the Miami Marlins.
Wow.
Okay. And it was at my outside business, which was fantastic. I picked up more suspects last night, okay, met some of the guys who run the organization, and it was a fantastic networker for me. And I'm meeting him at my business, you know. Tonight, I was going to work, and then I was reminded that I have a meeting from 7 to 9 with the, I live on a lake here in Miami called E-Lake, and I have tremendous suspects and prospects that are my neighbors. It's a great list. So today they're having a lake committee meeting. And I want to be there to get to know my neighbors.
Okay.
You know? So I'll head home at 5, catch a quick workout instead of doing it late, and then hit that meeting from 7 to 9. So my evening Morgan schedule would be interrupted for an evening networking event. Right? And I want to... And I feel that I could, because I took seriously the discussion on energy, right? So to increase my energy, I take breaks, right? So I work the morning, I break for lunch, I work, you know, the 2.5 hours in the afternoon, I break for dinner, take a walk, come back, work from 5 to 7, take off, you know? And I feel that I can sustain that Monday to Thursday. Friday, I just leave with market close and I'm done. Okay? Also, I'm back to working out. Marisol knows this. I have a whole host of doctor's appointments that I put off. And I'm not putting that off anymore. I'm a diabetic, by the way.
Okay.
And unfortunately, through lack of exercises, I used to do pretty intense physical exercise for several years. And I was able to control my diabetes with that and a kind of healthy low-carb diet. And I've gone off of that the last 3 years. And that's caused my sugar to skyrocket, which is not good. And so I'm putting that in control. And, you know, I tore my shoulder doing jiu-jitsu a few years ago, and that's come back. So I'm seeing an orthopedist for that. And so I'm kind of like back on it, you know.
Are you type 2 diabetes?
I am a very, very strong type 2, bordering on a type 1.
Well, type 1 is a child, so you wouldn't have...
I became diabetic. I'm on the cusp. I became diabetic before I was 30. I was like 28, 29.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm a type 2 doesn't absorb insulin. I have a problem with that. But a type 1 doesn't have the T cells to create the insulin. And I have a lower T cell count too.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So I'm kind of both. I'm like a kind
of both. Type 1, you know, 12-year-old diabetic. So he lives to 77, so he's a great model.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
Really took care of himself.
That's great.
So we never had any sweets in the house except for fruit. So we kind of grew up not really, you know, absorbing a lot of sugar. We were always worried that one of us four boys would get it, and then we always, you know, worried about our children getting it and all that. But you probably can control most of it with a diet and exercise if you maintain your optimum weight.
Yeah, I've also gained a few pounds. I'm maybe I think I'm 20 pounds overweight. I'm 210. I should weigh 190. I mean, I'm not horribly fat, you know, but I think I'm 20 pounds overweight. So that 20 pounds is, for a diabetic, is crucial.
Well, it's a vascular disease, which means that eventually, you know, most diabetics die of a heart attack because it ends up, you know, giving your veins and arteries become brittle. And so you've really got to nail this thing now, because, you know, assuming you want to, it's a bad disease when it gets bad. I'm very empathetic, but very much of a tough coach when it comes to diabetes, because I've seen the outcome. You just don't want to go there any sooner than you have to. So, you know, by then you may have a cure, but at this point, you got to keep yourself in great shape. So.
Thank you, Rob. But I'm jumping on that because, you know, I've taken a look at Supernova, not only as a way to help my business, but I'm doing a whole, like, life evaluation here.
Right.
I'm starting seeing on everything.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you can compromise other things. Don't compromise your workout. And don't compromise,
for sure.
You know, compromise other things. Don't compromise your workout or your diet, because that's your lifeline. Okay, so I'm going to be a tough guy when it comes to that. So you report in on me every week.
Appreciate that, Rob. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, I mean, it's a passion for me. You know, I spent too many nights in the hospital with my dad, and, you know, you don't want to do it. And, you know, it's just try and stay out of there. And it'll make your energy, you know, your energy will be very high. Now, my guess is your business is up, probably pretty dramatically.
No, my production is down because I place very few trades. I'm moving everything to manage money.
Yeah, okay. So you're doing that. You're going through that period. Okay.
Yeah, so right now my business is dramatically down, but, like, I've been doing this for a long time. I know what's going to happen.
Right, you're going to get through it.
It's going to go down, then it's going to go much higher.
Right. Plus, you haven't probably had time to kick in your insurance sales and things like that. So.
That's a whole other level, because you know what? In a past life, I was actually a pretty decent insurance salesman. We're talking in the early 90s.
Yep.
And, I think that this is going to give me a lot of insurance opportunities, for sure. And those will be my big hits here and there.
Well, Al, you and I are very similar in the sense we're both good salesmen. We have talent. The key for us is to keep ourselves on track, have a disciplinarian, either a personal trainer or somebody to keep us on track. So, because as the energy that you're putting into this is, I'm sure, typical of the way you operate. The key for you, though, is the long, sustainable focus. And so as you build these rituals, you've got to make them sustainable. You've got to make them things that you think, okay, I can do this for the rest of my life. Like, you probably don't want to work nights for the rest of your life, so you want to, you know, back that off some. But, you know, I did, you know, I still, when I worked, I did too, but it was, you know, I was young in my career. So, just I'm just throwing that out there. I want you to have a sustainable pattern of operation so you don't, you know, get upset with it.
Yeah, you know what the thing is that I've been working nights now for 4 years.
Okay.
Just out of Morgan Stanley.
Just different nights. Okay.
Every single night I've been working at Well Groomed Gentleman, my outside business.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've been working past 7. There are times I got back home at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Every day.
Okay.
So now, believe it or not, for me to say I take dinner early and I work from 5 to 7, I've cut back.
Okay. No, I believe
I've actually cut back.
Guys that are really successful work crazy hours. Look at Trump. God, madness. Talk about an example. This guy's crazy. He's 72, going like a madman, like he's a teenager or something.
I agree with that.
You know, so anyway, I guess we can all put in more effort if we try. So, what else, what questions do you have as you're going along here?
So part of what I do during the day is I have subsets. Here's what I did. I made 2 columns of people. One column is prospects, and the other column is very long, is suspects.
Yep.
So I've been meeting for coffee. I met for a breakfast the other day, for a drink, whatever, with suspects.
Yep.
And I try to feel them out. And what I've done is I've developed, based on your presentation and a couple of things for me, like a 5-minute elevator pitch on what I do. And I started with, can you enthusiastically endorse and refer your current financial advisor? I love that line, by the way. That's awesome. You get very responsive. When they roll their eyes, you know you're onto something.
Right.
So, yeah. So, and then I go from there and I go into the service model. I talk a little bit about portfolio management, what I do. And then I try to look them in the face and decide, is this guy a prospect?
Yeah.
Or, by the way, a lot of times they'll tell you right there, listen, all my money's in my business. Like, I had a business owner that I met last week. I was telling Marisol. He said, look, I work 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. And upstairs, because I own the building, it's my apartment. And I have an office there. And the other room is a bedroom. Because many times I can't make it home. And I just go to, yeah, I sleep here, take a shower, and get to work the next day. And I have no money for investments. All my money goes back into my business. So, like that guy, a lot of people will tell me, I'm not a prospect. You know? And I've been either firing them as suspects or moving them over into the prospect column. And
right,
then I'm
going
to develop I'm going to go from there and see where that takes me. Now they're prospects. Now I know they're qualified. I know they have a financial advisor in a stock portfolio. And I'm going to start working them from that point. But at least it helps
okay.
me. Yeah.
The question is, how many can you sustain? How many prospects, knowing the schedule that you have, I will tell you the number that I have, that I use in this model. Tell me, what number do you have now of prospects and suspects? Where are you now?
Let's not get into suspects, because that's an ocean. It's a lot.
Okay.
Bob. It's a lot of guys. Prospects, I have 5.
You have 5?
5.
Oh, that's good. Okay. We want to have a reasonable number of prospects. We don't want to have this infinite number that, you know, guys will tell you need 300 prospects and all that. It's ridiculous. So we want to have enough prospects to fill your pipeline to reach your goal. So we need to know what that number is and et cetera. But at this point, just keep building that up. And, you know, the question that then you've got to ask yourself, if I'm going to service these guys and turn them into clients, you know, how many can I deal with at any one time? Is it 20? Is it 5? Is it 30? You know? Is it 50? I don't know. But that's the number. I tell people you can't have more than 90 taxed. Okay? But it may be 50.
90?
90 prospects.
Okay.
That's the maximum you could ever have. I wouldn't let it have any more than that. But if you had a machine running that was, you know, and you had a staff and you could really market this, then you could have that many. But you got to have a system to manage it. And so let's walk a little bit before we run.
Okay. I'm not even near that. I'm nowhere near. What I have is a lot of suspects.
Right. So you want to be brutal about your suspects. You want to get rid of your suspects.
No doubt.
So you have the ability. Yeah, you have the ability to turn them into. You know, you have the ability to fill that ocean easily. So you want to. Some people have a terrible time finding suspects, so they nurture their suspects like their prospects, and they're not. No. So
I mean, I had 5 or 6 suspects last night. And I'll need more tonight. So I'm not gonna have a problem meeting people that possibly can invest. It's just whether they really are a prospect or not. And what I've done is, okay, I did not use my business is closed approach. I just don't feel it'll work in this market. You know?
Yeah.
I get where you were trying to achieve, but I don't think it'll work for me in this market. So what I do is very simple. I just say, look, can I take a few minutes to talk about my career and mortgage payment? And typically, yeah. I've had nobody say, no, I don't want to hear about it. Okay?
Right.
And then from there, I go to my elevator pitch and see where that goes. And so far, that's kind of working.
Well, you know, look, you've got talent, you've got courage, you know, use it. I mean, so many people are so afraid to even ask for an introduction. It's ridiculous. So, you know, go for it. I mean, you know, the guy that's willing to ask a lot of girls is the guy that doesn't go home alone, you know? You gotta ask. And, so it's, you know, it's not one of these things where you can sit on the wall and hope somebody's gonna dance with you, you know?
So, Bob, I am way beyond that point. I'm way beyond that point. That's not even a good thing.
Alright, so, this week we talked about this is week 8. This is the last week for organization. All right. So this is where you ask questions about the folders and what's in the folders and why it's in there and whatever, you know, what you'd like to add or delete or, because this will be the last week we'll spend any time unless you have specific questions on organization. All right.
Okay. So the only thing I have to say about that is, forgive me for saying this, I haven't delivered one folder, and I'll tell you why, and you tell me if I'm doing it wrong. It's because I want to deliver the folder in person with a financial plan. So I've actually shown the folder. But
yeah, it's too much. You should be giving the folders out now, all of them out.
Okay.
Okay. And it's because that's separate from financial planning.
Gotcha.
Okay, folders are, folders, what you're declaring when you hand the folder to the client is that this isn't just a new idea. This isn't just a new fad, or I'm not just saying I'm going to be changing my practice. Here is how I'm changing it. This is what it's going to mean to you. This is service, this isn't financial planning. This is, I'm going to call you every month. We're going to talk. They're going to be like, what? You know, they're going to be like, what?
Gotcha.
So particularly, I think, for you and Marisol, this is very important. They should get their folder, and you should have one for them. If you don't, they're going to just think this is another story, you know. They said, oh, yeah, that's great, but let me see if you actually follow through, you know. So this way, by handing them the folder, you're saying, look, you know me, if I'm not committed to something, I'm not going to go to all this trouble building this folder and all this stuff. I'm all in, and you're going to get great service from here on. And they're going to be like, yay. And, you know, you particularly, I would think, would want to do this sooner than later. Because it doesn't matter who I'm talking to, but somewhere in the list of clients, the client says, well, you know, Al, I'm glad you did this because I was frankly thinking about leaving. Okay, but if you're really going to do this, you know, if you're really going to do this, then I'm all in. But if you don't, then I'm out of here.
Gotcha.
And that, you know, both, all our coaches have one guy every, you know, three or four that we do with, that we deal with that comes up with that, and then the folders are out like that, man. They're contacting all their clients really fast. Because they don't want, anybody leaving that they don't want to leave, you know. You don't mind some of the smaller clients leaving, but you sure as heck don't want your best clients leaving. So make sure that, unlike with some things, you don't want to do this with your worst clients first. You want to get the best clients on board right away and then work your way down. So some of them could be at risk.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. That'll
they will like you. Yeah, they will like that a lot. And they, and that's why, so, you know, you think your conversation, your first conversations are going to be 15, 20 minutes. Now, these people are desperate to talk to you. And so they're going to want to take like 50 minutes. And so that will stay that way. All right. That will end. But in the beginning, they say, no, no, you don't need to call me that much and da, da, da. But when you get them on the phone, they're going to talk 50 minutes. So don't believe them when they say they don't want to sign up for 1242. Just say, look, let's just try it. Let's just try it for the next 6 months and see how it goes. If you want to cut it back, then we can. But I think you're going to like this. And they'll say, okay. Then you hand them the folder and get them organized, and then, my God, they're going to be on you to talk. But that'll last maybe 2 months. 2 months, they're going to want to talk for the full time. And after that, they're going to be like, okay, I know I'm going to talk to you next month. So I'm good. You know, it's 20 minutes, 10 minutes. And so that whole part of it gets shorter. But if you're doing financial planning and you're implementing the planning, then you're in for, you know, pretty much using the full 50 minutes because there's too much to talk about.
Okay.
So that's, once you get the plan in place, you get all the asset allocation done, you have the insurance done. Now you're back to just ritualized calls where, you know, you're the coach, you know, you're the CFO. A good analogy for this is you're the CFO and they're the CEO of their company. I had a guy the other day at a $150 million client. I said, of all people, he would appreciate that analogy because a $150 million portfolio is a company, right? That's a lot of work. And there's things going on all the time with a portfolio like that. So you being the CFO, him being the CEO, he understands and probably would like to talk to you every month because there's a lot of moving parts to that thing. So the same thing for you, right? So particularly these best clients, and they say, no, I don't need to talk to you that much. You say, you know what? A lot of things change in a month. It's a pretty fast-moving market. We want to be in touch. Think of it as a board of director. You know, we're going to have, you know, we're both on the board. You're the CEO, I'm the CFO. We're going to meet monthly and have a board meeting. We're going to have an agenda, which, you know, is very similar to any board meeting. And then I'm going to send you an executive summary, which is similar to the minutes that we come up with after the board meeting. And you're going to feel more connected. You're going to feel more informed. And I'm going to feel better that you're informed. And he goes, that's great. You know, that's great. Okay. Come in.
And so when you sell that along with selling the fees, because, you know, getting somebody to go from transactional to fee-based isn't always the easiest thing in the world. But when you phrase it that way, they see that they're getting a lot more for their money, and they don't mind paying the fee then.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Marisol.
Thank you. What's the best way to give the clients the folder? Is it like Al and I should check the list and one by one as he decides and we send them? Or do I send it to all the clients that I know I can mail it and then follow up with a call from him to explain what it is? Or how do we do this? That's the best way. And
all right, so if you're going to be meeting with them and they come up with, you know, an in-person meeting this month, I would save the folder. Yeah, if you're going to be meeting with them in person, or you can meet with them in person, I'd rather give it to them in person.
Okay.
But if you're not, then what you should do is you should package up the, you know, Federal Express it, you know, so that they know it's not just something, and I'd put a letter in with it. Okay? And I'd never send it without having first had the conversation.
Okay.
And then when they get it, just say, you know, this is what we're going to be discussing on our monthly call. So you put it right in the letter. This is what we're going to be discussing in our monthly call, which is coming up, you know, on Tuesday, November 14th at 7 o'clock. I mean, you know, at 9 o'clock or whenever it is. And then they'll be ready for it. And then, of course, you confirm that with an email, right? And then Al, your conversation is, okay, so you've got your folder. Let me explain what that is again. Hopefully you explained it the first time. If you didn't, it's okay. Explain it this time. This is a folder. It's not an expensive, leather-bound something you're going to put on the shelf. This is for you to use. If you lose it, I'll send you another one. It's not the last worst thing that ever happened, but I want you to use it. So when we have a phone call, I want you to take it out, put the agenda on the back side there. I've got a sample agenda that just put your agenda on top of that. And then I put in some yellow line paper. That's where I want you to take notes, write down questions, anything that comes up during the month in between our calls. I want you to write it down there. I'm going to send you an agenda before the next call. If you have a question or you have an issue that you'd like to discuss, just email me that and it'll show up at the top of our agenda.
You just send it by email, correct?
Yes. Yeah, everything's by email.
Okay.
You can't get the phone, you know, you can't get them the folder by email, that's all. So you got to send it.
Okay.
And remember, don't be discouraged because a client doesn't get it right away. I teach the five-time rule, that it's not their fault till I tell them five different ways. Whatever I'm trying to teach them. So, you know, you send them a letter, you send them an email, you have a conversation with them, you send them the folder, you send them a letter, you send them another email, then you have another conversation. And then by then they probably get it, you know. So this is a big change for them. So you got to be patient with them and teach them, and, you know. It's just like you guys. You know, we don't have one phone call. We don't have one conversation and expect you to get it. You know, this is our eighth one, and we're still, you know, still trying to figure it out, right?
Yep. Okay.
Okay, good. Okay, so week eight, the agenda and preparation for follow-up, templates for meeting agenda. I think you get that completely, Al. I don't think if you have questions, ask them, but I think you understand it. The Steve Covey model, maybe you understand it, maybe you don't, but the idea of the Steve Covey model is making sure that you're not wasting your time on things that aren't important versus, a lot of times we do urgent things, but they're not important. And it's just because we always did them. We want to waste no time. This particular project is important, but not urgent. Most of the things in your life that change your life for the better are important, but not urgent. For example, working out. Important, but you could put it off. Okay? But when you do, you pay for it. So same with Supernova. It's one of those things that changes your life for the better, but it isn't a crisis. So you want as few things as possible in the crisis mode. Important and urgent. Supernova allows you to prevent the urgent and important. Meaning, instead of running your practice like a fire drill all day long with, Marisol, I've got a guy coming in tomorrow, here he is, you got to get everything ready, which I know you did, because everybody does. Get all this stuff ready, he wants an account review, which makes Marisol's life crazy. Instead of the fire drill, everything is structured and organized. So you know the guy's coming in a week ahead of time. Gives everybody a chance to prepare for it. And it's a much better presentation. You do a much better job because it's not crazy land. So we want to get everything we can out of the urgent and important and wait for that item where the guy says, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I need, $200,000 for a closing in 2 days. And you go, okay, or I need it this afternoon, So, which happens. But then, when you're organized, you can do that. It's not one other nutty thing on top of 100 others. So, the point is that this allows you and Marisol to have a fair chance to have an effective team and an effective practice. Where everything is in the fire drill. So that's today. So that's why the Covey thing is important. And if you weren't where you are, your head is in a really good place right now. I don't need to spend any time on that because you understand it. I mean, you see the benefit, I think. Anyway.
I do.
Of what we're doing. Yeah, I think you do. I think you're all in. You just need to know more. That's why these calls are so important, because frankly, what you just said about doing the financial plan and then doing the folder. I mean, sure. I mean, I understand why you might say that, but, that's why I'm here, to say, no, don't do that. Get the folders out, because the clients aren't going to get what you're doing until you get it to them.
Gotcha. Okay. Let me ask you a question about my day. Do you find it's better to speak with clients in the morning, prospect in the afternoon, or vice versa? And if I do work 2 hours in the evening from 5 to 7, is that a good time to call prospects or clients?
I felt like in my work, when I was a financial advisor, I felt like I was wasting my time during the day. When I called people at night, they had time. I could get through, and we had a nice conversation. But that was a long time ago, so I don't know for sure from that point of view. My answer is prospecting. It's a compromise between your day and their day. If you're prospecting doctors, you got to get them before they get into the operating room. Okay, so whoever you're prospecting, you got to get to them when they have time to talk to you. A lot of businessmen, secretaries, do not come in before 8 o'clock. Okay? So if you're going to get to them, they're going to be in there, a lot of them, at 7. You can get them from 7 to 8, and there's no secretary, and they answer their phone. because nobody's calling them except their friends at that time of the morning. Okay, so there's things like that that you got to consider. You know, a lot of the secretaries go home at what, 4:30, 5 o'clock? You're calling, yeah, you're calling between 5 and 6 into a business. He's still there, right? Mm-hmm. And he'll have some respect, or she'll have some respect for you because you're still there. So think about when is the best time. Plus, then it's also a question of your energy. So you want to be prospecting when your energy is high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
You don't have, your energy doesn't have to be super high when you're talking to clients,
but it needs to be, like, if I'm going to be presenting, I present to, as a mutual fund company's hired me, right? So I'm going to speak to all their wholesalers, and they call me and want to have an interview with me. Well, my energy better be pretty high for that interview, right? Whereas I don't have to have super high energy to talk to you because you got good energy and I feed off of that. So I can do these calls anytime. But I want to be really on fire when I talk to a prospect.
Gotcha. Okay. Good stuff. Here's another thing. How about BS normal things in your life, like today I got a call to get an A1C report for my diabetes. I got a call my carpenter. I had an electrician I had to talk to. Should I knock that off first thing in the morning or at the end of the day? Every day there's like 3 to 6 items or something.
Yeah, I know.
Birthday, I mean, it's stuff, life stuff.
Some of it is when they're there. Sometimes they're in the same situation where you know you can get them. You don't pay his phone tag, so you can get the carpenter in the early morning before he gets going. And same with, you know, as soon as somebody gets to work. It's like when I always have appointments, medical appointments, first person in the office. Then I don't have to wait, you know, an hour in the waiting room because they get backed up. So there's some planning that goes into it that you need to do. So if you've got a doctor's appointment, do not make it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Don't make it at, or 12 o'clock, you know. Don't make it at 8 o'clock, first appointment. So, you know, some of the trends, when you can take the least amount of time to make phone calls and know you're not going to play phone tag, because you can waste, you know, huge amount of time making phone calls. And the other is just to delegate. If you can find somebody to be your home house person that will take care of stuff like this for you, it's a good investment.
Okay.
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 So, yeah.
Hey, great call, Rob. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob.
Therefore, thank you, and look forward to talking to you next week. Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care, Rob. Bye-bye. Jeff Sessions just resigned, by the way.
Who did?
Jeff Sessions.